Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This, of course, is the story of Job. He was described by the Lord in verse 8 of chapter 1. The Lord was talking to Satan and said, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And so Job was tested in chapter 1 horrifically, more than I've ever been tested in my life. And in chapter 2, the devil came back and talked to the Lord about this man Job. And the Lord said in chapter 2, verse 3, again, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. God asked the same thing. God doesn't lie. And when God said that Job was a perfect, that means a complete, mature, and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, he said, there's none like him. What a thing for God to say about a man. Wouldn't that be a nice thing for God to say about us? There's none like him. God said that about Job. His whole life fell apart. All of his children died. 10 children died when a building collapsed on him. And business, all of his animals were killed. He had a business in farming. And his servants died. It was a horrible thing. And his own health was taken away. He had boils all over his body from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. And his wife could not comprehend this. All they had pretty much known to that point was the goodness of God. And so when some bad things came, she began to become bitter and angry, and she said, why don't you just curse God and die? How can you maintain your integrity through a time like this? And Job said to his wife, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. And then he asked this question, and this is the question of a man who really knew God. This man really knew the Lord. He said, What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Or that word evil means bad things. Trials, temptations, testings. It's not all going to be good. It's not all going to be easy street. Job had that spiritual discernment. I hope we do tonight also. And so as we come to an end of another year as a church, we have to realize that we're not just going to receive good as a church every year, but sometimes there's going to be some bad things happen. We're going to have to do some evil. And that's like that in any church. It's like that in any person's life. It's like that in any marriage. It's like that in any family. It's like that in any neighborhood. It's not all going to be good. There's going to be times of bad or evil, trials and temptations and testings and afflictions, distresses, perplexities, all these are Bible words that describe what happens to believers and to churches. And that's pretty much how it was with our church this past year. We received good at the hand of the Lord. We also had some bad things happen that He allowed. And I hope we'll have this discernment, because if not, we can start asking the question, why? And we can shut our hearts down to God's leading and His voice. I had a conversation with somebody just recently, a couple weeks ago. Something terrible had happened in their life. And they said to me, all I do is keep asking God why. Why, God? Why? Why, God? Why did this happen? Why, God? And I, when they finally stopped talking, I said, have you let them answer? And they just kind of looked at me and didn't know what to say. I said, how does God speak to us today? They didn't know how to answer that either. I said, God speaks to us today through His Word. The Bible is the Word of God. I said, you're asking God why, but you're not giving them a chance to answer back. I said, you need to get in the Bible. And if you'll start reading the Bible over and over and over again, those questions will be answered. But you can't just ask God why and then not let Him respond. He's not going to speak to you in an audible voice. He's going to speak to you through His Word. You got to get in the Bible if you want to get some questions answered. And there's been some really tough things on the church this year and some really great things. And so I just want to review the year here and talk about some of the, I'll start with some of the highlights that we had as a church and go through these and hopefully give us a little bit of a vision for next year as the Lord would have us. As we mentioned this morning, our theme this year was godliness. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things. And that includes the things of this present life and of that which is to come. And we talked about today, in this morning, in the prophecies, how it talks about in the last days, people will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. That means there will be a lot of religion in the last days, but people are going to deny God really working powerfully in their life and having that relationship with the Holy Spirit that they ought to have, and denying the power. We can't deny the power and truly be godly. For Peter said this about godliness. He said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We can't be godly and deny the power of God. It is the power of God that produces true biblical godliness in us, and godliness which gives us all those blessings we talked about this morning in every single realm of life. So I want to encourage you tonight to be sure you know God, know His Son, Jesus Christ, have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't deny the Holy Spirit. Don't put up a wall. Don't say, okay, God, that's close enough. Don't get too close to me, but give yourself, present yourself to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life and produce godliness, and so many blessings will come into our lives. So that was our theme this year, through woven through the preaching on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and a little bit on Wednesday nights, was godliness. And what a blessing that is to our lives if we'll be godly people. Now, as for some other things in the church, I just want to talk about some highlights regarding some physical things. We certainly want to thank the Lord. Every year we hang up a list of projects that we dream about finishing, and some of these have really been on our list for years, but we got some of it done this year. We got the parking lot. It says stone the parking lot. That means put in the foundation for the parking lot, and boy, did we put a foundation in. And that thing is going to hold up probably during through the tribulation period. And then we went over it with binder, 2.5 inches of blacktop binder at a cost of $27,000. And by the time it was done, we were able to pay that off in cash. We leveled and reseeded the athletic field, repainted the kitchen, repainted and renovated the nursery, put down some new carpet in the nursery, cleaned out all the old insulation up there that was above the auditorium, which was a major, major job. Somebody told me they got over 100 bags of just garbage out of there, and we insulated it with, I think it was R30 rolls, and we're going to just, I think, be a little bit more comfortable. There was areas where there was no insulation. We thank the Lord for those that got up there and did that job. And then if you may recall, this year we had the whole auditorium painted, which was a project way back, I think, last winter. And the walls and the ceiling, was in pretty bad shape. So we're grateful. Out at the Charity House, we painted the entire interior of the house we own in Irving, that houses missionaries and guests. We power washed the outside, cleaned rain gutters, built 2 concrete sidewalks to both the side porches, which was something. Now the people won't be walking through the rain, mud and grass to get into the house. Painted the outside porches and shed, and trimmed one of the big, huge trees that we were afraid might fall on the house. But thank you. It was a good year of accomplishing a lot of projects, a lot of physical work. Went in and around the church building and properties. This was probably, I'm not exactly sure, but it'd probably be a really good guess of mine to say this was the best year our church has ever had financially in offerings and collected, and we were completely unaffected by this recession. And we're grateful for that, to be able to end the year once again. We end the year 26 consecutive years now in the black, where the church has never been in debt, and our bills are all paid up, and there's money in the accounts in the bank. And we appreciate those of you that have been faithful. It looks like we're giving more to missions than ever. We're supporting more missionaries around the world than ever. We're supporting missionaries in every time zone. I think it's up near 85, 87 missionaries or missionary services or missionary projects that we are supporting around the world in many, many countries. And so we're grateful for that. Another highlight, I think, was this being the first full year of the chapel, which is a ministry of this church, the chapel ministry over in Evans. We are meeting in the Triton Valley Estates Derby Trailer Park, and there is a recreation hall back there. We've started a extension ministry of this church over there, and it's only about 13 months old now. And this was our first full year. Sunday mornings, we're averaging about 30 to 40 people that are coming to the chapel. This morning, we had 43 in attendance. Our highest day was 52. And not only are we having Sunday morning services there, but also Thursday night Bible studies. And we just started a kids club over there months ago. And we're getting between 20 and 25 people out on Thursday nights. And we believe that there is a great need in Evans to have a gospel preaching church. I live there myself in Angola and have a burden for that town. And we're grateful for those that have been helping there. So that's our baby. All right? That's our baby. That's a church we're birthing out of this church. Okay? That's not some separate entity from this. That's part of this church. It's a just as much a ministry of this church as our Sunday school is, or our children's church, or our bus ministry. And so far, the good Lord has blessed in that church. I've challenged the folks to double next year. The attendances, they're excited. It's so refreshing to be able to be a part of a ministry again. It seems like I'm going in a time warp back to when we started here, and we got all those new believers in Christ over there, some babes in Christ, and it's just pretty exciting. And some of you have been helping out to see them coming. We've had a bunch of souls saved. Only God knows how many have been saved through faith in Christ. A bunch of them were baptized this year. We did have one very, very sad funeral of a lady that had attended four times, and she was really struggling in her life. With alcohol. She was looking for help, looking for God's help. And then she just passed away in her sleep at the age of 40. And that was a sad thing. But a lot of folks in that little work have afflictions and troubles. They're babes in Christ. And we're trying to help them. Appreciate those that have been helping over there. Many have helped, especially the Gannons have really taken that under their wing and have just done just a great job. That chapel needs a building, and we have our eyes on one over there that's quite a bit out of our range, but there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And we're taking that to Him in prayer. The chapel has never cost this mother church a penny. In fact, they have, I think, close to about $16,000, $17,000 in the bank right now. But there may be a time when we're going to have to help that ministry, maybe get a location or something. And hopefully that'll build up into a church. I hope to invest a good number of years yet, three and a half, maybe 4 years yet in that ministry myself, and praying that God will raise up in that time someone to be the pastor and to get a church building. And I would like to go on to another town somewhere and try to plant a chapel. As for the church here in Eden, we have had more baptisms this year than we had last year. We had some great events this year. Some wonderful things happened. Going way, way back to the very first week in January, and that's when Pastor Seth took Brother Chris Barron to get him started on this adventure of faith and took him down, as some of you remember, to Washington, D.C. to get his passport and then down to Georgia for some training as a missionary. And Brother Chris is, I mean, we've had people we've influenced in this church for years who've gone out into the ministry, but he'll be the first real missionary from our church sent forth from this church to the Philippines. And I appreciate Pastor Seth investing his life in people like Pastor, like Brother Chris, and so many others. This was a tremendous, tremendous year for Pastor Seth. It just was an eye-opening year for me just to see how much this man does for the Lord. I know no equal, and I say that humbly. I just have just understood, I think, this year a little clearer how much God's hand is on him and how much God is using him around in and around this church. You don't understand how rare it is for an assistant pastor to stay in the same church for 12 years. That is unheard of in this day and age. And all the things that he's doing that so many people know nothing about. Right after, the very week he got back, we really began the Bible Institute. He oversees that. That's kind of a behind-the-scenes ministry where people are taking Bible college courses on a college level. And he is really investing his life, his time. He's here on Tuesday nights with these people, oftentimes proctoring tests. He's our missions director. I can't tell you how many letters he reads and the information he keeps on his computer about all of these missionaries. And he's the man that's I'm leaning on so often to be good stewards of your money that you're given the missions to say, is this person really worth supporting? What's going on with this person? What's going on in their ministry? And so on. And he gives updates and he reads those letters, dozens of letters every week, phone calls, sometimes every day from missionaries who want to come through and present their work and their burden, their calling. Besides being the missions director, heading up the missions trip, they went to Honduras. Pastor Seth, about 10 of our members went to Honduras this summer. And maybe you'd like to go on a missions trip. They're going to Peru. This summer and coming up, and some teenagers, some adults are going, and it's so important that every one of you go on a missions trip sometime in your life. We'll help get you there, and we'll help raise some money, and you can raise some money, and God will take care of it. He's never failed anyone yet, and everybody ought to go on a missions trip at least once in their life. And I thank the Lord for Pastor Seth. I don't know if you heard, but Ken Johnson passed away. Did you hear that? Do you know Ken Johnson? Keith Johnson. He went to be home with the Lord. He's only 50 years of age. He used to take my daughter on missions trips when she was a teenager, I think, and Rachel, too, I think. Both my daughters went on missions trips. He just invested his life in young people, taking them on missions trips. And sadly, he went home to be with the Lord just a couple weeks ago. Pastor Seth does that with adults and teens, and some of you need to pray about going on a missions trip. This one's coming up to Peru. And then he's been helping with the North Collins bus route with the Spillers and Brother Andrew Welsh. And I know Renee helps sometimes, and others, and drivers, and I'm not trying to miss anybody. Been running that route on Sunday mornings, extended it down into Gowanda this year, which has been profitable. And then began running it on Wednesday nights, which has benefited our kids' clubs. And we have a great kids' club program in place on Wednesday nights. Brother Bob and Lisa Gorski are heading that up, the kids' club program. We thank the Lord for them and everybody that's ever worked with kids over the years, the Lapes, the Nolders, and some of you folks. But you're just... Mrs. Lindsay now, Child Evangelism Fellowship. Boy, that's where the fruit's at. And we thank God for you. And we're bringing these people in, and from Gowanda and North Collins, children, for these programs on Wednesday nights, and they're learning character, they're learning discipline, they're learning God-honoring principles that'll help them in their lives, and sometimes that makes things interesting. We understand that, we're not here to have the coolest church or the most perfect church and everything. In fact, there's one verse that I often rely on as I've probably read the book of Proverbs more than any book in all of my life. And in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4, it says this, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox." I mean, if you're going to have oxen, you're going to have a mess. If you're going to have human beings, you're going to have a mess. You're going to have children, you're going to have a mess. Because we're all messed up. And you get more and more messed up people together, and things are going to get difficult. But we thank the Lord for the Patch the Pirate Clubs, kids clubs, all these years, people that have worked faithfully in it. Now it's expanded. And folks, when you come on Wednesday nights, we need to pray for the power of God to be present. You know, so these children will be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 18:14, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." We need to pray that they get saved, and we might be the only program in their lives trying to build any kind of Christian character in them whatsoever. And I thank the Lord for Pastor Seth overseeing the festivals and the fairs, as he took teenagers out to festivals all over the area again this summer, and helped in overseeing the Dunkirk Fair and the Hamburg Fair and setting up displays, taking them down, getting tickets, organizing all of that stuff. Organization, order, administration, operations, those are all biblical words. And he does so much of that behind the scenes, and I get all the credit. That's how it goes. He's the one doing the organization of these ministries, these fruitful ministries. Well, it's hard to organize festivals and fairs. He's always out every Saturday on visitation, for men's visitation. We don't have a lot of men come out, but all year long we've had men come out Saturday for visitation, mostly on bus routes, teaching teens, Sunday school classes, summer camp with the children. Try to organize that. Try to get kids to bring their money, bring their registration forms, bring enough clothes to last a week at camp, drive them down to Butler, Pennsylvania and back, spend the week with them, get counselors to go. Somebody would be willing to go and spend a week with kids, and he does this every year. And then a couple weeks later, he does it with the teens. I don't know how many we took to, do you remember how many children went this year? Any idea? 61 total went to camp. He hosts youth rallies at least once a month, leads the singing, sings with the men's ensemble, plays in the brass, helps with the seniors' fellowship dinner ministry, drives the bus. He's one of our bus drivers. He's got teen winter camp tomorrow. How many kids are going? Any idea tomorrow to teen winter camp? 32. Okay, last year I know it was like 46. He's had to raise the money for them. He's going to have to go tomorrow morning down to Sinclairville, stay all through there to get back Wednesday afternoon. Then he'll drive the bus Wednesday night to Gowanda and back and be up here leading singing. And you'll think, well, what's he done all week? And it's just been something. And besides that, he is involved in individual lives. He allows himself to be touched. He's got his guard down. He's involved with his neighbors, right, Andrew? That's what you were saying. And his neighborhood. And I know I'm missing things, and I want to include his wife, Renee. She's home, and I think one of the kids is sick. But I want to include her in this. She has just been such a helpmeet. And next week's what, your 13th wedding anniversary, I think it is? Next week, January 4th. And So I always knew Pastor Seth did a lot, but, and I know I'm missing things here, but I just want you to understand that there's so many things that go on. Yeah, so many things that go on. He's behind the order of those things, the administrating of those things, and so on and so forth. I'll say, hey, let's have a missions conference. And he'll organize the entire missions conference. And he'll get all the missionaries lined up and all kinds of things, food and lodging. And you know, we get four missionary families in. We have Brother Robbie Morrison in this year, and four other families, the Levines, going to the Himalayas. How many people you know going to the Himalayas and the wilds, the Ukraine, the Sutphins going to Uganda, and the Masters going to Nepal? And he'll organize them all. He'll organize the music. He'll organize their lodging, their transportation, and so on and so forth. And everybody will tell me what a great missions conference it was. And I just thank the Lord for him so much and the hard work. He's really one of the hardest working men I've ever been associated with. And I mean that. And I just, you know, the Bible tells me in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, Romans 13, I think it's verse 7, give honor to whom honor is due. And I am so grateful just the way he's growing in the Lord and maturing in the Lord, and God is using him. And it's been a pleasure to work with him and just to watch. Well, there's other highlights this year. Daily Vacation Bible School. What a blessing. I don't know if we've had so many good ones, but this may have been our best ever. In August, all those nights with all the children from neighborhood. My wife and I, we sent out Christmas cards to everybody on our street this year. We live over on Grove Street in Angola, and we sent out Christmas cards to everybody. And if you didn't get a Christmas card from me, it's because we sent them all to the neighbors. I thought you wouldn't mind. Amen. Try to reach some souls. Try to influence them with the gospel. And one of the neighbors wrote back, and that they're of a different religion, but they said, our children so love coming to your daily vacation Bible school, and they look forward to it next summer. And I'm glad, and they probably are involved in a religion where they'll never come here, but their children come and hear the gospel every year. They hear the word of the Lord. And so we had a great year out at the Dunkirk Fair this year, the Hamburg Fair. I don't remember the numbers. Only God knows anyways, but hundreds of people came by the booth, came in, heard the gospel, trusted Christ as their Savior. And what a great, great year out there, and look forward to next year. We also had our best entry ever in the Eden Corn Festival Parade. But that didn't last long. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Man, we had tractors lined up. We had antique tractors and trailers, and it was something to see. It was the best entry in the whole parade. But we only made about 100 yards, I think. And then the heavens just opened. And man, it's been a wet year. And man, it rained that day. I mean, we were taking music stands and turning them up and using them like umbrellas. All the music was soaked. We were soaked. It was something else. But I think still in the process, we got about 1,000 packets out of information to people with the gospel in it before we just turned around and went home. Somebody sent us home, some policeman or something. I forget. But it started lightning and all kinds of stuff. So, well, we had four weddings this year. And it just was refreshing to me to see people married, I think, in the will of God. Jeremy and Maria Hoke got married this year, and they are moving next week to Maryland. Lisa and Josh got married. They're moving next week to Indiana. Chris and Elizabeth got married, and they're already moved to Pennsylvania. Man. Rick and Kathy got married. They're staying around. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. We have had a lot of people move away from this church and just from this area in general. And this year, we lost a lot of good people. And that's kind of hard, but that happens. Three funerals this year. Tina Leone, age 40, Ricky Fitzgerald, age 32, and John Murillo's mom, she was up in her 80s. Always sad to do funerals. Three ordinations in Western New York this year. We were able to be involved in Brother Craig Jones down at Prospect Avenue Baptist Church, Brother Joshua Friendshoe up at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and Eric Costantino at Calvary Baptist. So rare that we have young men ordained anymore. And to have three of them in 1 year in Western New York is a blessing. We need people in the ministry. We need some men to surrender to the ministry. We need some pastors and evangelists and missionaries. And we need ladies who will give their lives to the Lord. But we had a good year in music, at least up till this morning. But Mrs. Lindsay and Monique saved the day and sang for us this morning. But now we've had a good year thanks to Brother Dan Priori, our music director, and his helpers like his wife and Jen Tabor and others. It was a great year. I think things were a blessing, proper as they ought to be. Not the emphasis, but something that prepares us to come into the presence of the Lord. Music's a wonderful gift from God. You gotta learn a musical instrument, learn how to sing. That's the exciting thing about music. You're never too old to start. And we had a piano recital this year, had 15 piano players come, good attendance. We even had some lost people come to that night and heard the gospel. Now Christmas caroling a couple weeks ago, went to 60 homes, door to door, had a Christmas cantata using the Hamburg Central High School. We had a 60-voice choir, 30 folks in the orchestra, and behind the scenes, just over 100 people involved and about 600 people in the crowd. It was a wonderful thing, a good start. We're going to make that a tradition. Yeah, last year, we had about 200 come to the cantata in the church building. This year, over 600 out of the church building. And with those in the production, there was close to 700 people there. And that thing, if we're faithful with that, year after year after year after year after year, that can become a tradition in the community that people will come to and hear the gospel. We used the Eden Central High School for the Easter cantata called the Centurion. Had a big crowd there. I don't remember what the numbers was on that. It was near 400, but I'm not sure. That's a lot of people. And that's some influence. And we're glad for that. And the candlelight service had a full house Wednesday night for that. And we're grateful for some of these highlights. The year's not over. We can still spend the next 3 days praying for our teenagers as they go to camp. Camp has been a wonderful, powerful influence in the lives of our young people. As they get away from the world and away from their televisions and away from all these distractions, and they hear from God for 3 days and much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And I want to encourage you to be praying for our teenagers. Our teenagers are having a rough time in this world. The world's getting worse and worse and worse, if you've noticed. And God is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. The Bible is the answer. And sometimes we can get them away from all the world and all the tough times they're having at home or with their parents or whatever, and get them in these settings and they can know God is real. They can trust in the Lord as their Savior, get the help they need for life. And some of them are coming back from camp feeling as though they've been called by God personally to give their lives for a higher purpose. I want to encourage you to pray. The year's not over. Pray for the next 3 days. We've got an evangelist coming Wednesday and Thursday night to our church and chapel. Pray for Brother Moore. God will give him messages that we need to hear. Now the New Year's is coming. And next year, there's some things we need to strengthen. Jesus said in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 2, He said, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He was honest with his churches. He didn't just soft soap it. Sometimes he said to churches, there's some things wrong. And the church of Sardis, in Asia, there was a church like this in Sardis. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. And there were things in that church, we don't know what they were, but the Lord said, you need to strengthen these things. They're about ready to die. And there are some things we need to strengthen as we go into next year, and I'll be done here in just a few minutes. But we really, really want to strongly encourage your prayers and your labor and your help and assistance in the care ministry. Since Jim and Gina Olson moved to Virginia, the care ministry has been kept going by some faithful people. We thank God for you. But it's really time we need to get that thing restructured, reorganized, and time for people to volunteer to minister in that ministry. Rick and Kathy Vespa have talked with them. They're willing to be the overall coordinators. I've talked to some other couples about maybe being team leaders and just giving those that have been the team leaders a break. If not, I'll call upon them to continue to work in that ministry. But caring for others is Christianity 101. And it is better to have a caring church than to have a friendly church. I'd rather have a caring doctor than a friendly one. And we need to be a caring, and caring, you got to get down and dirty with people, so to speak, and get into their lives and pray for them and minister to them, befriend them, help them, and not just be surface. And we're going to try to restructure this care ministry. Our Sunday school attendance is down. In fact, it's the worst that it's ever been since we've been in Eden. The Lord has sent to our church Brother Chris and Sharon Ravert. They're not here today. They're in Vancouver. Three of their children live there, and they're all practicing for the Olympics. Now, that's a joke. But Chris is coming back in about a week here, and he's willing to head up the adult Sunday school class with Sharon, working on that class like Mike and Jen do with the younger adults, and they want to work with that class and make it kind of a family thing. And I just want to ask you, for those of you adults that do not attend Sunday school, I want to ask you to give them a good try. Get behind them. And if you usually come at 11, I want to encourage you to start coming at 10. And get behind this couple. They love the Lord. Their love for the Lord is obvious. They've done something right in their life. All four of their children are in their 20s. They love the Lord. They're sold out for God. And I'm not saying if your children aren't that you didn't do things right. Sometimes we just don't understand what direction a child will take when he's out on his own or she's out on her own. But they did something right in guiding that family. And every one of them has gone to Bible college. Every one of them is loving the Lord, serving the Lord. And I want to tap upon that wisdom. He doesn't pretend to be a teacher, but he's willing to give it a try. He's going to be using curriculum that was developed by Dr. Clarence Sexton down in Knoxville, Tennessee, who the Lord obviously has used, if any of you know him. And so if you're not used to coming to Sunday school, adults, you come. And you bring your children with you. You bring your youth with you. And you just make that a part of your life. This past year, the men have been going out on visitation very faithfully, a little group of us on Saturdays. We thank God for it. I'd really like to mobilize our ladies. I really think God can use ladies in the community to reach souls. We're going to designate the first and third Tuesdays at 11 a.m. I know that's not perfect for everybody, for ladies to come and to go out on visitation. If you can't make them both, maybe you can make one. You may have to adjust your homeschooling schedule if you're a homeschooler, but that's the good thing about homeschooling. And we'll need child care, things like that. Brother Larry Chappell, pastor out in Lancaster, California, has a visitation program where they're constantly going out into the community with the news of the church, what's going on at the church, Christmas, Easter, Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever, and they're approaching homes with that information and using that as a stepping stone to get into the gospel with people that answer the doors. And they use the little door hangers like we use for some visitation, and we're going to have the ladies. You know, the Bucos, you might not know this, but Tony and Louise and their children have been having a door-to-door campaign all through Eden. What they call the village, there's no such thing as the village of Eden, but it's one big town, but they mean this area, the hub around the church here. They've knocked on every single door in Eden this year except Hillbrook Drive over here. Every single door they've knocked, and they've given information about our church to people and tried to share the gospel with some people who have been willing to listen. And we need more to help. And so, ladies, it's going to be a very, very primitive, basic visitation program. If you can't make it, pray for those who can. Reformers Unanimous is a Christian program to help people with addictions. I hope you never have an addiction. But some people do. And it's tough for them to break that addiction. And there has been developed in this country a good, provable, usable ministry called Reformers Unanimous to help people on Friday nights so they don't go out, but to come to the church and be discipled. There's talk from Mike and Jane Gannon about prayer, about maybe starting a ministry like that. You've got to have a big heart for this. You can't be shallow. You can't be surface. You have lip service and just give out a bunch of Baptist babble. You got to really get into these people's lives if you're going to help them. I don't know whether this is going to be the year that we start that, but it is so needed. And I think of the dear lady that died that I was trying to help, and a few of us were trying to help, and I just wished we had something else for her than what we had. Something more than just to say, come to church. She called Pastor Seth that night in desperation, the night she died, and talked to him on the phone. She died with a cell phone in her hand. And we just wonder sometimes if God doesn't let us experience these things to break our hearts and ask ourselves, do we have the love? Do we have the burden? Do we have the zeal? Do we have the care? Can we open our hearts and lives? Can we be touched like the Lord Jesus was touched by some of the worst and show them Christ is the answer? And show them the love of God. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one to another. A lot of dross came up in my life this year. I wasn't happy with myself. Pastor Cole is doing all right, but Art Cole's had some struggles. I thank God for this year. Solomon said in the Proverbs, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. This was a year where a lot of dross came to the surface in my life, and God said, what about this? You going to deal with this or not? Or are you just going to stay the same? God's challenged me to change. It seems like never before in my life. Some people look at me and think I got it all together. There's no way. Is God changing you? Has any dross come to the silver of your life? Of the silver risen to the top and said, God, what about this? Has anybody tried to correct you this year and all of a sudden all this pride and rage started coming out of you? You know, God says, what is that at the surface? Why is that still in you? I had a tough year, but by the grace of God, Art Cole's still standing. I hope I'll be better next year. I'm looking forward to next year. Looking forward to our theme. We'll have a new theme up here next Sunday morning. Come on over. 11 o'clock, we'll reveal the theme. Pretty excited about it. Looking forward to the next year. There's been some heartache this year with people leaving, moving, quitting. Some people this year have become complacent, overwhelmed with a spirit of apathy and indifference, and you can't move them for anything. I'm afraid for them. But others have become on fire for God like I've never seen. Gotten right with the Lord. We got some young people, we got some teenagers in this church that just love the Lord Jesus. And some adults too. Well, we're in the winter. It's plowing season. It's true spiritually too. We got to plow through the winters. It's tough sometimes around here, Western New York, but we can still sow some seed. Now, I'll leave you with this question. In Romans 8 and verse 31, it says this: if God be for us, who can be against us? But the question is God for us? Have we so prepared our hearts, or will we, that God will be with us this year? Let's pray, and then we'll sing and go home. Our Father, we thank you so much for this year. I want to thank you for bringing dross to the surface of my life. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, Lord, not even my wife. But all this year, you brought stuff to the surface and said, what about this? What about this? And we think of the metallurgists and how they heat up the silver and the gold and the dross, the impurities come to the surface and they scrape away the impurities and the gold and silver becomes more pure. And there's some times where you bring the heat on our lives to bring stuff to the surface so we can get it out. Oh God, I pray that for everyone here, for myself. Lord, I guess Pastor Cole did all right. The church did in many ways, but Lord, you're a God who looks at the heart of man. You look at the heart of women. We talked about a lot of surface things tonight we've seen in the church and the chapel, but you look at the heart. Lord, help us to get our hearts right with thee. Bless our invitation now, Father, and we pray if anybody needs to be saved tonight, they'll come and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We ask it in his name. Amen.